Welcome to the Preakness Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Remembering Preakness's past and looking ahead to Saturday, May 21st, when Nyquist goes for the middle jewel at Pimlico Racecourse. Quick note of thanks to our sponsors, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Facing Tipton & Company, Virginia Equine Alliance and the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Thanks to all. Frank Vespi here with Maryland Racing Commissioner Bruce Quaid, former chairman of the commission, and in his years on the commission, Quaid has shepherded through the 10-year deal for racing, as well as the deal to boost Maryland breeding and the new drug policies. So he's also a big batter, and has so he sees the Preakness from two different angles. Bruce, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me. I want to ask you first about, from kind of the Maryland Racing Commission, with as the body that's concerned with the care and feeding of horse racing, your take on what the Preakness means and how you guys look at it as a commission.
Okay, one point of clarification, though. You refer to me as a big bettor. I'm an interested bettor, not a big bettor. If my wife and kids find out that I'm a big bettor, they'll get rid of me. So big bettor does not mean money, big money. It means betting a little bit on a lot of horses.
I stand corrected.
As far as what the Preakness means to Maryland, I mean, it can't be overstated. We on the commission recognize its importance, its history, its tradition, and the huge economic engine that it is for not only racing but for the state. So, again, the Preakness and Maryland are peanut butter and jelly. They're intertwined forever. So, we hope it stays that way for forever.
Any take on the there's the Maryland Stadium Authority that's looking into the status and future of Pimlico. What's your take on that process?
Well, that's the Stadium Authority is really a facility study. It's looking at Pimlico Racetrack. As far, it's not about whether moving the Preakness or not. That's kind of a misnomer. We're not talking about anything. That's way premature to be talking about that kind of stuff. This Stadium Authority study is just that. It's a study of the facility, the stability of it, the likelihood of its ability to continue to hold the Preakness in its current state, or what would have to be done to it to improve it, to make it a world-class venue for the Preakness. And that's really that's certainly the initial thrust of phase one, is to look at the facility, find out the good, bad, and the ugly.
Now, what about you have a kind of personal favorite Preakness moment or memory or wager, perhaps?
Not so much a wager, but, and this is a boring response, but my favorite Preakness was probably last year. I think that a lot of people, including myself, thought that we were witnessing something special. And even though it was borne out later in the Preakness and the Belmont and later, there was just a sense that the horse was something special. I was old enough to remember when Secretariat was around, and you had that same sense. You felt like you were witness to something that doesn't happen that often. It's like some of the great athletes. Like when you saw Gale Sayles running, you knew that was something special. It's the same thing when you saw Secretariat. And I think the same things are true of American Pharoah. The stride, I'm not a horseman per se. I don't know a lot about horse flesh and conformation and whatever, but even somebody like me can see that the stride and the easy fluidity that horse has was something special. And in fact, I was up at Saratoga for the Travers when the horse lost, and it was very easy to see early that the horse was not running its race that day, because it lacked that smooth fluidity that it had in every other race. Mm-hmm. And it was just a case where you felt like you were seeing something special. And that's a boring answer, but I think
Triple
that
Crown winners don't come around.
No, but that's got to go down. That's something my I told my kids and my grandkids, you saw something that doesn't come along very often, and it was really cool to watch it. It was fun. As far as betting and winning, nah.
Not so much. And what are your you have expectations for this coming Saturday?
It's funny, Nyquist. Nyquist is, how can you go against Nyquist? Has done nothing wrong. 8-for-8, is that right?
Eight for eight. Yep.
Put away those horses. Like I was from a betting standpoint, I had Gunrunner, and I was pretty excited for a long time in that race.
Head of the lane.
I actually got up and stood up out of my chair, and after maybe another half a furlong, I sat back down in my chair because it was obvious that Nyquist was much the best, and so I got to think that it's going to be the same this time.
Okay.
All right.
Miss Quaid, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been the Preakness Moments Podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. For more Preakness Moments and wall-to-wall Preakness coverage all week long, check us out at www.theracingbiz.com. The Racing Biz is the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you out at Old Hilltop.